Right, well, you've popped your podcast on. I've just popped my bread in, and that is very soon going to be toast, all thanks to my gorgeous four-slot classic dual-lit toaster. Oh, do you want one? Do you? Of course you do. All you got to do is go to dualits.com, dualit.com/toasterpod, and then you will... Just hang on. Oh, that's browning really nicely. Yeah, so dualit.com, D-U-A-L-I-T, dualit.com/toasterpod, and you could be winning a four-slot classic toaster, sandwich cages, a classic kettle, a taster pack of compostable coffee bags, and a travel mug. All thanks to our friends at Dualit, who are bringing you today's episode of My Mate Bought a Toaster. But listen, don't take it from me that these toasters, that this kit is brilliant. Take it from the Amazon reviews. Excellent classic, says JR. Designed to last, probably longer than JR did. That's a reference to a TV show from a long time ago. He says it looks superb. Andy says the build quality is fantastic, gives off 60s vibes. Someone else says I bought my parents one 30 years ago and they still use it regularly. These things are built to last, much like me. So do yourself a... Hang on. That looks good. Do yourself a favour. Go to dualit.com/toasterpod, get stuck in, and good luck. On with the show.
This dress is really creaky as well.
Well,
so I feel like I have to explain it.
So you've got a creaky dress, right?
Yeah.
So hello, Vic Slayton. Welcome to My Mate Bought a Toaster. You have got a creaky dress, and I'm sitting on a very creaky chair.
Okay, so between us, we're an audio sensation.
Yeah, exactly. There's a good sort of, I think, well, certainly with this chair, fake leather ASMR.
Yeah, this is also fake leather. This is vegan leather, which I think is a fancy word for plastic.
That's what they recall plastic means. It's that good. I'm going to use that next time I have a cheap Sainsbury's bag and people are like judging me. I'll be like, no, this is actually a vegan leather
vegan
bag.
Vegan leather.
It's vegan leather in orange.
You're wrong. Oh, when I need a laugh, there's a helping people. But Tom Price talking to these funny people. He's asking what they find in the town stories. Can somebody yell out the name of the show, please? It's My Mate Bought a Toaster. Oh, it's My Mate Bought a Toaster. Yeah, yeah, it's My Mate Bought a Toaster. Oh, toaster for my love, thank God, toaster. So, Vix, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to log into your Amazon account. That requires me knowing my password, doesn't it?
Do you know it or not?
Oh, here we go.
Welcome to this part of the show where I will fade down to some hold music now while Vix looks for her password. That's right, guys. It's the password hold music. Do, 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 do. Do the record for this, by the way.
Am I going to have to reset this?
Yeah, that happens. Jason Manford's password. I also find that I get quite attached to passwords. Do you know what I mean?
Like, I think that's what scammers rely on.
Yeah, that's true. Password nostalgia is killing home security, guys.
This is such an embarrassing state of affairs.
That has to be the best reaction ever to an Amazon purchase history. An embarrassing state of affairs.
Yeah.
All right, let's begin, shall we, Vix Layton?
All right, let's do it.
2013, Vix Layton. That's when we see some activity beginning. That's when you appear on our detectors here on My Mate Bought a Toaster.
Your detectors.
Yeah, you're up to stuff. May 2013, the first thing you bought, a perennial favourite on My Mate Bought a Toaster, The Man Who Made Husbands Jealous by Jilly Cooper.
Yes. Jilly Cooper, the woman who taught me most of what I knew about sex as a teenager.
This is it. When it's posh sex, it's always called romping.
Yep. Men rearing up out of the bath, that kind of thing. Like phrases that you never hear outside of Jilly Cooper world. I get so excited when I go to like Gloucester and Cheltenham because I'm like, I'm in Jilly Cooper land.
Forget calling it the Cotswolds. Call it the Cooperwolds.
It is the Cooperwolds for me.
Yeah.
But yeah, it taught me the wrong things, I think. Those books have a terrible message.
Well, go on. What in terms of sex or in terms of everything?
Sex.
Is it all very, very sort of subjugated women? And...
Everything. Yeah. The way women, considering she's a women writer, you'd think she'd have a slightly more three-dimensional view of a woman's character. But
yes.
Yeah, no.
Right. So are you suggesting she invests the horses with more dimensions than the women?
You can see who she really loves. It's only years later as well, because apparently it's built around some people who are real.
Oh, really?
So some like people from like the royal family and adjacent, the characters are based on them, which is quite exciting, particularly the polo players. So, and then you Google them and you are immediately disappointed, because there's a lead character who is a cad and a bounder called Rupert Campbell Black in Julie Cooper novels.
Yes.
And he is probably my first love. And he is the worst human being in the world.
He is, to describe it here, he is a blue-eyed havoc maker.
He very much is.
But people love a bit of havoc.
She's still writing them as well. So if you go right the way up to like 2021, I think her last book was out, I'm still reading them, even though I feel dirty and I need to be pressure washed afterwards.
Know, people do have a sort of guilty pleasure thing with her books. And is that because of politically incorrect and a bit dated now? Or is that because they're... Because I, in terms of them being easy to read and stuff, I always... sort of push against that idea of if a book's easy to read, it's of no benefit. You still learn loads from books that are easy to read. In fact, they're harder to write, I would say.
Yeah, I think the mistake people make is for writers like Marion Keyes, I'm reading her book at the moment, her newest book. She covers some absolutely devastating topics, but because it's got a brightly coloured cover, people assume it's a silly girl's beach book, but... They cover rehab, grief, like manic depression. Like, they are some of the darkest books I've ever seen. I think my first experience with depression as a concept was reading a book called Lucy Sullivan's Getting Married.
Okay.
And that was the first time I'd ever come into contact with it. And I was about 15 or 16. I was like, hang on, this is how I feel sometimes. But you would never expect it from looking at the cover of them.
So that's quite good in a way then.
That
the cover, you know, it gets, it's the Trojan horse. It gets through. You think it's a bright, sparkly vase of flowers and actually it's deadly and it's full of stingy things.
But to be clear, Jilly Cooper is not that woman.
No, that's the thing. Jilly Cooper's not doing that.
No,
it's just sex
women
and horses.
Women exist to be wives, basically. They aspire to be wives.
Yeah.
They run after the men. They forgive them all sorts.
Yes.
They aspire to be very thin. Thin is the win for Jilly Cooper people.
Thin is the win,
will occasionally point to weights when she's talking about people. So it'd be like, oh, she tipped the scales at 10 stone 4. Basically, the implication is she is a blimp, like she's a society outcast.
She sort of strikes me as a sort of evil Camilla Parker Bowles. That's how I start to picture Jilly Cooper. I don't mean evil, do I mean evil? But it's sort of a very sort of, maybe what I mean is how Camilla Parker Bowles would be without a PR team.
A lot of the women get ill from heartbreak and as a result get thin and win back the errant men that have been cheating on them. It's a, yeah, it's a real vibe.
This is not passing the Bechdel test, is it?
No, there are women characters, but you do not aspire to be them.
Vix, tell me about your life when you are reading this brilliant escapism that Jilly Cooper provides. So you get this in 2013. What's happening to Vix Layton at this moment, please?
I'm trying to work out how old I was and that's, it depresses me horribly. It's 20 years ago.
No, it's not. It's 10 years ago.
Is it?
Yeah, 2013. It's 10 years ago.
God. 10 years.
You actually made me scared for a second. I was like,
I know.
Oh, no. It's not 2033 already.
I think these are basically screensavers for my mind. So 28, I would have been probably just, I just got my first job in London.
Ah, okay.
And I never thought I'd leave Cardiff. So I'm from Cardiff. Yeah. I had aspired to move out, but I'd come into some money, not to be Jilly Cooper about it. Basically, I got fired and they gave me redundancy money. So I bought a flat.
And when you buy... In London or in Cardiff?
In Cardiff,
right,
obviously.
Okay.
Don't be ridiculous. Because my parents were obsessed with the idea that I was going to fritter it away on shiny trinkets and sweets if I didn't put it in to something meaningful.
Yes.
So I bought a flat. So when I bought the flat, I thought, well, I'm going to be here for a while. But I was still applying for jobs in London.
Doing what exactly? What was your advice?
PR. Personal finance PR. So the good side, the light side of PR.
Okay.
Only good things, money saving. And against the odds, because I'd interviewed for this job, I think, 4 or 5 times, and it just became a little thing that I did in my spare time.
You'd go and interview
and interview for this job, and I was meeting different people each time. And the first couple of times, they didn't have a job, and then it took on a bit more of an exciting pressure, because I was meeting the big dog, I was meeting the boss, Tony Langham.
Oh, Tony Langham.
Yeah.
The thinking man's Martin Lewis.
Exactly. The company was called Lansons.
Tell me about them, okay.
Langham, Parsons. It was a husband and wife power couple.
Okay.
And they are two of the coolest people I've been. I was really, really lucky to get the job. But by that point, by the time I met, you know, the big boss.
Yeah.
I had stopped associating these trips with getting a job and moving to London.
But sometimes that's the way it works, isn't it? The number of times I've got gigs or auditions or whatever when I just stop caring and I just think I've been banging my head against this wall. I'm actually numb now.
Yeah. And I remember going to the interview. I got a coffee on my way. to galvanize me. I spilt it all down, a black and white dress, and it was a grown-up's dress, right? I bought it and I thought when I bought it, this is a grown-up's dress.
Oh, no.
Spilt it all down the white panel.
Oh, no.
And then I had to go to the toilets and try and scrub it off. And the diligent receptionist at this place was trying to wrestle it off me. And I wrestled her like a bear to keep this jacket on because I didn't want her to know I'd spilled like coffee all down
myself.
Can
I take your jacket? No!
It's my apron. So aggressive. I like practically slapped her away.
Maybe that's what got you the job. I like her. She's got something about her.
Washed and dried it in the toilets, then held onto this jacket for like the first half hour and then took it off hoping because it was so hot in this room. I could see Tony was looking at me like, how is she not feeling this heat? The woman is sweating.
Oh my God.
I took it off and I had to believe. It was like a scene from a chick lit book in itself because I'm this sort of scruffy South Wales girl going into quite a slick office to potentially become an account manager for all these like very fancy finance brands. So investment banks, they had some really like more consumer focus, but they had investment banks.
And those guys need the PR, especially post 2007, 2008, right? These guys are all working their way back.
But there's a specific type of person that they want to see managing their comms, and it's not somebody with coffee all down them. So I don't think Tony himself would have judged me, but he would have been looking at me through the filter of, could we send her to a meeting at a big investment bank? Could she pitch to them?
When you do a big interview, right, do you have to do... a friend of mine got a big job recently and she did a big PowerPoint for the interview. She like comes in and goes, okay, everyone, thanks. And then boop. And just if you just look at the screen and here's my vision.
That's becoming more common. You do the work before you get the job.
Exhausting.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot of hours they want you to put in now, particularly for creative jobs because they're so competitive.
Yeah.
I've seen, because I've set those tasks myself as an interviewer.
You've now become Sir Alan, have you? You're less Katie Hopkins, more Sir Alan.
I've done all the work and I'm furious about it because I've done all the work just in time for 360 feedback to come in. So the one thing I was looking forward to is I get to be the appraisee, becomes the appraiser. Yeah, nice. And now they appraise you back? Like, how is that fair?
Oh, so that's what 360 means. So
everybody gets to give a view of you. Everyone hears from everywhere.
God, that's like the comments section on podcasts coming to life.
Exactly.
I don't want 360 on podcasts.
It's like being in an Uber in the office all the time and you're like trying to do plea bargains with junior staff. You're like, you know, I had a little I told you off, but you told me off. So should we agree? Three? Both of us three. I'll three you if you three me. So
that's a lot of trust you're putting in your driver there.
So sometimes you just want to read a book.
Yeah, well, I can see
men
that.
Men are playing polo.
Yeah.
Women are doing nothing at all, and that's fine.
Well, I would say that the Thames barrier for worries is books, right?
Yeah.
That's for me anyway. Loading up a Kindle and keeping that tide back is all these things. And you've gone for it, Lee Boyce, the Battenberg bomb.
That's my friend. He's a finance journalist, actually, and that was his first book that he wrote, and it was really good. And he was crowdsourcing terrible date stories.
Excellent.
And he used one of mine, which was amazing.
Obviously, we now need to hear the terrible date story from Vic Slayton.
I once took a man I met on Match.com. This was when online dating was not cool. That was not how people were meeting. It was embarrassing.
When I first did stand-up 20 years ago, you get people in the front row and go, oh, did you meet online? To get a cheap laugh.
Yeah, and they'd rather say they'd met an STD clinic, to be honest. Like, they'd look harrowed. And so I'd met this guy, I was like 19. His name was Goat of Mendes. That was his username. His real name has been lost in the sands of time. But I don't know who was in his writer's room because we were getting on really well. Like he was sending me books and books worth of hopes and dreams, music, we like the same stuff. I had sort of, I'd already, because I was 19, an idiot, I was like, I'd pre-fallen in love with this man.
Yeah.
He lived in Chester, so we hadn't been able to meet. So we arranged to meet, came down from Chester, long old train journey that. He booked into a hotel, presumptuous.
It just shows you how long the train is back to Chester.
Lived to regret that, he did, because that cost him some money. And he was so boring that the only thing I could think of to talk to him about was how many Wetherspoons he had in Chester versus Cardiff.
Please, please don't.
Yeah.
No.
Because Cardiff at the time had seven. And I took him...
Hang on, Cardiff had seven Wetherspoons?
Seven Wetherspoons in walking distance. Central Bar, the gatekeeper, the Ernest Willers, the Prince of Wales.
Have they all sort of merged, like sort of white blood cells? Have they all merged into one big boil now? Is Cardiff mostly Wetherspoons?
Oh, do you know what? I've exaggerated. Two of them were Lloyd's number one bar, but
same
we
thing.
All know they're the same,
same thing.
Thing.
That's like saying pitch from piano is different to Slug and Lettuce.
Yeah.
Same thing, lads. Same thing.
I took him to all seven.
You did a Wetherspoons crawl.
I did.
You went through all the spoons, the full cutlery drawer.
I hyped them up as well. I was like, they've all got different carpets. The toilets are all amazing. You're going to really love this.
But presumably this wasn't the first thing off the bat. It was the fact that you realised however many minutes into the date that this guy was horrendous.
Oh, he's so boring.
Oh my God.
And he didn't
look
like his pictures.
Now that...
Which I think is unfair. He had a massive head.
Yeah.
It looked like a paper mache hot air balloon that a child had made. It was awful.
Please tell me that wasn't the first thing he said when he saw him. Oh my
no.
God, your head is close. Oh.
Well, it arrived before his body, and I was like, this isn't on. But nonetheless, he got a hotel. I was stuck with him because I was polite. God. And even after 7 Wetherspoons, he didn't get any better.
What time did you knock it on the head?
I took him to my local rock bar, Metro's, because I fancied the barman. So I was so drunk that I didn't fancy him, but I thought, this evening need not be wasted. This is a good outfit. I'm going to go and chat this barman up.
Nice.
And use the fact that I was on a bad date to indicate to the barman that I was single and ready to mingle.
Clever.
So, yeah, it would have been, but
however,
the rest of this horrible, horrible true story that I've tried to tell as a story in my stand-up, but it's so ridiculous people don't believe it.
Right.
I panicked speaking to the handsome man, and instead of telling him about my bad date, I said that I wanted to work at the bar. I was like, I've always wanted to work here.
Why do we do this? You, as you hear them coming out of your mouth, you're like, this has got nothing to do with
me. I was genuinely, I was completely divorced from this thought. And it was happening in real time. And like, there was someone locked in the boot of my brain going, no! And I thought what was going to happen is we would exchange numbers so he could pass it on to whoever relevant was recruiting. But he got the manager. And I was interviewed for the job. And I got it.
So you started working at
the bar. So I worked there for 2 weeks rather than say, I just fancied this man. I worked there for 2 weeks. I already had a job. I worked at Admiral Car Insurance in the day. Then in the evening, between 10 and 2, went and worked in the cloakroom at Metro's.
Because you fancied the guy who worked at the bar.
Yeah.
Who had a normal-sized head.
But was ugly when I was sober. And I'd never been in that bar sober before. And you know what? You're not allowed to work behind the bar. You have to work your way up. So I had to work in the cloakroom.
Oh, really?
To work your way up to the
pumps. You've got to start on the shop floor before you get into the booth.
I'm such a people pleaser.
Well, you're certainly pleasing me right now. This is excellent stuff.
Absolutely ridiculous. Toasters sponsors Toaster Planet. So get a Joliet Toaster and become a toaster god. They're shiny and luxurious. The other brands are furious. They make us toaster curious. Now we love Toaster Pod.
2nd of October 2014, the MacBook 13-inch sticker of Snow White.
Do you know what? There are about 8 of these in my account because I love it. It's the original decal that people had on MacBooks.
So decal, explain.
So it's the stickers you see on the back that wankers with Macs because we all want to be original.
A wanker tag.
It's a wanker tag. Yeah. Some of them have graffiti ones, but the original one, it's Snow White and she's holding the Apple logo.
It's quite cool.
I love it.
It's quite cool. I quite like it.
I absolutely love it. I've got it on my laptop now. Like every laptop I've had because... I can't afford a MacBook, so all of them are work laptops. So when I have to hand them back in, I have to buy another one for the new. That's how many jobs I've had.
That's
good. Look for the Snow White decal.
This is great. This is how we work it out. Look for the wet wipes to get the coffee off the interview dress.
Yep.
And then look for the decals.
Yeah, this is like rings around a tree. Every time you see a new Snow White dispatched, I've got a new job.
That's you tagging up a new Mac. All right, so that was in 2015. That's where we are now.
Yeah, that was Quidco. I was working at Quidco at the time.
Okay.
PR manager.
Things are getting real now. We're going to rattle through a few things now.
All right.
Okay. So I just want a very nice sort of explanation. Okay. So imagine you are up in court and I'm providing you with the evidence. New party, sexy, dressy women lace gloves. This is 17th of February, 2015.
That would be my Rock of Ages hen weekend.
Oh. Nice.
Yeah.
For your marriage.
Yeah, I had two because I hate everything about hen weekends. Sorry, people who are listening who have been on yours. I probably hated it. I just don't want willy straws. I don't want sashes. I was a real dick for this. So I had two hen weekends that I organised myself.
Of course you did.
So I had the away fixture for people who had a bit more money and wanted to come along. So we
did
went.
Did you tell them they were the ones turning left on the plane?
Well, I just wanted them. I didn't want people to feel like they had to just fork out loads of money because, again, that's something I've got a real beef with. Like, I've spent more on people's hen weekends, mediocre hen weekends that I've spent on my own holidays.
There's a tax, there's a friend tax. Yeah. If you're currently 18 years old and you're making friends at university, be careful, because in 10 years' time, those pricks are going to be getting married in Spain and you're going to be flying out there.
And it's worse for bridesmaids as well. You feel like it's an honour, it's not, it's an albatross. Please still ask me, friends, but...
That's true, it's so
it's just like, oh, do you
true.
Want hair and makeup? That sounds great, that's £45. You fucking what, mate?
Yeah.
It's your day, right?
And you've got to buy this dress. What? Yeah. I've got to buy your uniform?
Yeah.
What?
No, thank
I'm
you.
I'm not putting your livery on, mate. What's going on here? Okay, so having just said I want quick answers, I'm now absolutely fascinated with this. So you had a home and away hen do. That's brilliant. So what was the gold package? What was the bronze package?
V Festival Day, again, relatively reasonably priced. Justin Timberlake was headlining. The Killers were on.
Right.
Lovely day. So there were about 10 of us on that one. Yeah. I bought all the tickets as well. And I was like, if you've got a Willy Straw on you, I'll be patting you down. You're not getting your ticket. I was a real dick.
Ironically.
The home fixture. Any dicks there. Yeah, no dicks, just me. I'm the only dick here, right? And then Cardiff was, we went to see Rock of Ages, like a touring production in the New Theatre in Cardiff. We all dressed up in 80s and I nearly got kicked out because I was too drunk and my friend fell asleep.
It's your hen do, that's what you're supposed to do.
I know, but I think about it every couple of weeks before I go to sleep. So I remember saying, like, literally being the person that everyone hates in the theatre. You're there to have a good time. Yeah. Nothing but a good time as per the soundtrack. Mm. And there's some little princess going, it's my hen, don't ruin it. We tried to sneak into a box because it was empty, but obviously we weren't sneaking because we were dressed in 80s gear and it was a box so everyone could see it.
There's nothing louder in the world.
So embarrassed.
Than a drunk person going, shh, that is the loudest thing in the world.
I'm so embarrassed.
And also, do you now as a performer...
Oh, yeah.
See how horrendous... But every time now you have to deal with drunk crowds, that's karma.
2015 me.
That's karma.
Was an arsehole.
2015, listen.
But she looked fabulous in lace gloves.
That's it. Sometimes you have to look great but be an arsehole. And sometimes, you know, you have to do the opposite, which is definitely me. June 2015, Star Wars Kenobi Jedi hooded robe.
Secret cinema.
Oh, yeah, cinema, but with costumes.
Yeah, secret cinema. So it's an immersive cinema experience. Yeah. Used to be brilliant because it was like very low. There weren't that many tickets you could get. Mm-hmm. It's gone a bit shonky now. Uh-huh. Bigger sites that you don't get as much. So there were like actors running around. You got to be part of the scenes.
Yeah, amazing.
So I learned a Jedi mind trick with Lando Calrissian, and then you could use it to get served at the bar before everybody else. It was so good.
What?
Yeah, it was amazing. I did the Dirty Dancing one as well, and we got into the staff quarters for the party, so you got to see the whole scene play out. It was it's so good at its best, but I've gone to a couple of them recently, and I wouldn't spend my money on it.
What I like about you, Vix, is you are absolutely determined to have a good time.
Yeah.
If you go through pretty much every story, it's be like, right, so here's what we're going to do. You're very in the moment. Like, there's loads going on.
I squeeze the fun out of everything. Like, I want to experience all of this. I had this weird premonition that I was going to die before I was 30 with no basis for it. It's not like like horrible, harrowing family history or anything. I just had this idea in my head that I was only going to live till 30.
Yeah.
So because of that, I sort of ran at everything. And now I'm 38 and tired. I'm still living that life, but I resent it. Find us on Twitter and Instagram. Toasterpot is the name we're trying to jam. It's simple like a sarnie filled with cheese and ham. At Toasterpot, I swear it's not a scam, I think. Time for a quick break. We'll have more from Vix Leighton in just a tick.
Hello, welcome back to My Mate Bought a Toaster. This is the show that looks through its guests' Amazon purchase history in order to tell their life story. Today's guest is Vix Leighton. Talking of Vix Leighton, she does a very, very cool podcast called False Economy. They are a friend of My Mate Bought a Toaster and we love them, and it's a dead good show. It's a similar vibe, quite frankly. The brilliant Vix Leighton and Paul Watson go through people's spending habits. They have a look through loads of funny people's histories of what they've bought, their best bargains, their worst bargains, the silliest thing they bought, the best thing they bought. It's dead good. It's out now across all your podcast bits and bobs, wherever you get your podcasts. Head over to Acast. You can go to your podcast platform of choice and you can find False Economy. Go and have a listen after this. Loads of great episodes. Obviously, the one with Tom Price is really good. There's also Sean Smith. Rachel Fairburn is a brilliant one. Sakisa, who has been on this show as well, is excellent. That is False Economy, available now, hosted by Vix Leighton. Talking of Vix Leighton, March 2016, I can see you've got a new job because you bought the Wonder Woman decal.
A decal, yep.
So new gig starting in 2016, maybe?
What? What date was that?
March 2016.
Yes. What job was that?
I don't know. Also, you're moving house as well. 40 box house moving pack for removals and storage.
Oh, yeah.
January 2016, Vic Slayton is on the move.
I love a new job. I'm a very portfolio careerist.
Oh, that's a good way of putting getting constantly fired.
Yeah, Blakey. I've only been fired twice. Not once, twice, yeah.
Best firing story, please.
Oh, I was invited to leave. I shouldn't tell you who they are. Vouchercodes.co.uk.
Sure, look them up.
I accidentally printed out a job offer for another job that I had no interest in taking, which was what was annoying. Like, I'd only entertained it because I was really excited because I would get to work with a minor celebrity. They'd set up a business and I initially just wanted to go to lunch with this person because I was a fan. Mm-hmm. And then they were like, do you want this job? And I sort of considered it. It sounded quite glamorous, but also the job I was doing was very well paid. Mm. I didn't love it, but it was well paid.
Yeah.
So I was it was like a pipe dream sort of thing. It was like buying a scratch card, going for these interviews. It was
Yeah. It's fun.
Yeah. And then it was like 2 days before Christmas.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah. 2 days before Christmas, I got back in from my team lunch. I was about to go into an all-hands meeting, and they were like, can we have a quick word?
All hands off deck. No!
Before the all-hands. And I was really excited about the all-hands because the MD was going to dress up as Santa, and I heard it was embarrassing. I was like, oh, can I just go to the all-hands? They're like, no.
Wow.
Took me into a little room. The HR woman was vibrating with excitement because you don't get to fire very often, do you?
It's so literally both it's her Christmas Christmases.
It was Christmas Day for go. This woman 2 days early.
Yeah, yeah.
And they'd highlighted passages of my contracts because they deemed the people that I was looking at working for, but not very seriously, a competitive risk.
Oh, wow. So you were basically having liaisons with the opposition,
yeah,
with the enemy.
In their mind. So they showed me the no compete clause in my contract.
Yeah. God, as soon as you get a contract out, I'm like,
yeah,
fine,
and whatever. I was drunk because I'd been on my Christmas lunch and I was dressed like Pat Butcher. I was really glamorous. I remember they didn't let me take my coat off and I had this massive leopard print coat on.
What is it with people not letting you take your coat off?
I just wanted to take my coat off.
For God's sake.
No, I wanted to keep it on.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah.
And yes, I took... Yeah, I went into this meeting and basically because I was drunk, I was like, well, I didn't really like the job anyway. So I just told them that I thought my job shouldn't exist. They should split it in two. They should promote this other person. They didn't do anything that I suggested. And they escorted me off the premises.
I love that you left your firing meeting, giving them a future strategy.
Yeah, I thought they needed to know.
Here's what you need to do. You need to silo off that part of the business.
And the irony was I was going to go into a meeting in that afternoon to speak to my manager about extending my probation because I didn't think it was working out. I just didn't feel like it was the right person for the job. And I was like, you can't fire me. I was going to fire you.
all right, let's keep looking through your history here. I know you bought The Boat That Rocked, Love Actually, and Notting Hill. That is a...
Richard Curtis extravaganza.
It's a Richard Curtis threesome.
It is. What a trio.
That's so nice.
I'd never seen The Boat That Rocked. My friend introduced it to me because it was one of her favourite comfort films. And I'd never seen it. But then once I'd stepped into the warm, cosy, problematic world of Richard Curtis, I didn't want to come out.
It is problematic. There's a moment in a Richard Curtis movie, the time travel one, when the bloke doesn't want to organise a wedding. And in order for him to make decisions about their wedding... Have you seen this film, by the way?
Yes.
In order for him to make decisions about his wedding, every item of clothing she takes off, he'll make a decision about his wedding. And that made me want to smash my computer to pieces. I hated it.
I'm in two minds about this stuff because I think it's like Love Actually gets... There's discourse every year about Love Actually. People write essays about it. And I think it's not meant to be real. Is it? Like,
no.
I think you've got to put your... You've got to suspend your outrage.
Yes, yes.
And just live with it.
What I find really... I think what I mean about the Richard Curtis thing, to try and distill it from my mind more than anyone else's entertainment, is the way that all the male characters worship women in his films. I find that just really annoying, that Curtis thing, that people have this kind of... I think it's a line.
It's the opposite of Dilly Cooper.
The opposite, maybe, but it's all about men treating women like they're not real humans, and that annoys me when that happens. So
yeah,
that's what it
there's
is.
There's a lot of trophyism.
Thank you, trophyism. Yeah. Thank you. Good.
It's like Julia Roberts and Hugh Grant in Notting Hill. Like that dynamic is very much aspirational. Like foppish, silly man gets
that
beautiful lady
for
no good reason.
Beautiful, perfect woman and the crazy, wacky man who's imaginative and funny because men are all funny and women are all
so
beautiful.
Funny.
That's what annoys me. Yeah. Thank you. Okay, good. I feel we've got some closure on that. Good. All right, okay, let's move on, shall we, and see what else we've got here. Some lovely saffron, 4th of January 2017 now, Vix. Bit of saffron there.
I was working with the food writer Jack Monroe at the time.
Oh, I love Jack Monroe.
And I knocked a massive jar off his shelf and smashed it all over the floor, and it was worth about £18, so I had to replace it.
Saffron's really expensive.
It's so expensive. Yeah, she was really good about it, and she... I was mortified.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Okay, good. Well done there.
That is a quick fire one. There we go.
There we go. Yeah, we'll do some quick fire ones now here on My Mate Bought a Toaster. Saffron for Jack Monroe. Good. Sounds like a band. we have got some glitter, cosmetic glitter here on the 27th of June, 2017. Happy Father's Day, Dad. Oh, look, you got your dad an Amazon voucher.
Oh, he's my dad values, like, money over gifts. Like, he's an easy man to buy for, because he's got he knows what he wants and he will buy it. You know, yeah. He's like he's reached retirement age now. He's if he wants me, he just gets it.
Yeah.
So Father's Day is a bit tricky. He doesn't like golf. He's not one of those people.
Mm.
So sometimes the easiest thing is like, do you want a new bit for your computer? Because he's a big gamer.
Is he?
So I get Ticketmaster vouchers for him as well. So I like give him sort of experiences, or I take him to see things.
Your dad's a gamer.
Yeah.
That's amazing. He met his wife
on World of Warcraft.
No.
Actually,
interesting.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Does he sit there with headphones on in a sort of little room like a teenager? That's
amazing. Yeah, and they've both got computers now. They sit side by side to game.
Beautiful. Has your dad always been a gamer? Has that always been his
thing? Yeah. I built a PC when I was about 14 because I was very popular. I had a lot of friends.
Who needs friends when I've got a graphics board? Fair enough.
My friends are online, okay? They went to different schools.
You see, a graphics board is never going to make you go to a honeymoon. Moon miles away.
My dad, like, I was like a little son to him, like old school gender. Like, we watched Star Trek together, we watched Babylon 5, he introduced me to Red Dwarf, we built my own computer together.
Oh, that did good. Getting a kid into Red Dwarf.
Oh, it's so good. It's still one of my favourite things. And if you look back, I was reading a Twitter thread about how progressive it actually is.
Right, can you do this, please? Because I saw this as well the other day. Yeah. You will describe it better than me. It's so good.
Yeah, because like they had like a female lead character. They made fun of the white man. They were two BAME lead actors. Like, it was so representative. Like, the women were cool. Like, Christine Kachansky was like an officer who was the love interest, and he was the idiot.
Yeah.
They made fun of the rule, like the straight white man, traditional straight white man, Rimmer. They made fun of him constantly.
Yeah.
It was, it's really, like, the backwards episode was great as well.
Oh, my God. When they go to Nod Noll.
Yeah.
Oh, guys.
The writing is so good.
Incredible.
Like, I quote it so often, and when you inadvertently quote it and someone quotes it back, you know you've made a friend. It's
one of those
where it's like,
Schmig,
hit.
I've got a bit on my radio show where I've clipped engage smug mode, and I regularly play it on my Magic FM show, and I know most of the listeners are going, what was that?
Are you sure, sir? It does involve changing the bulb.
Since 2003, Juliet has made approximately 1.5 million toasters, and every week at the West Sussex factory, over 2,000 classic toasters shall be. Now here's a very special competition for you all. Win a classic toaster, sandwich gauges, a kettle and some more. A travel mug, compostable coffee bags, all guaranteed. Choose the colours you like, subject to availability. Go to juliet.com/toaster. juliet.com/toaster.
Toasty machine. My mate bought a toasty machine, guys. Look at this.
I
2019.
Did. That was for the office. That was for Car Wow. I confiscated it in the end because I sort of donated it to the kitchen, but people weren't keeping it clean. I was furious. So I confiscated it and I used to then get it out.
Yeah.
Or people would have to ask me for permission. I got really, all the power went to my head. But we started just...
you're a toasty fascist.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So around Christmas time as well, you could buy Christmas sandwiches from like M&S and Pret and Toastium. Oh,
I've never
just put a pre-made sandwich in.
Oh my God, you're a genius.
I know, you don't have to. Just butter the outside, boom.
A ready-made sandwich in a toasty machine. Guys, if you're going to do that, please do it. Send us pictures to @ToasterPod on Twitter. That's genius. 25th of October 2019, you bought a Welsh flag. You can take the girl out of Cardiff.
Oh, yeah, I got loads of them.
You've got to have Welsh flags everywhere.
Got to have them. Yeah.
So you never forget. Quite right, too.
Was that 2019?
Yeah, that's 2019 you bought that. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm trying to work out if that was when we were like Rugby World Cup or the Euros.
That is Rugby World Cup. October 2019 is Rugby World Cup.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And look,
we went to watch it in the fan village.
Yes. Yes, good.
I wanted people to know.
Yeah. Watching Wales always get quite close to doing okay and then actually not doing that well.
Yeah.
Hooray.
Hooray.
Here's what we're going to do, Vix, as we get towards the end of the episode. We're going to go through the last few months. Okay.
We're
going to see what has been going on.
I think
they're
going to be quite boring because I'm trying to spend less, but give it a whirl.
I'm looking and I can tell you they are not boring.
All right. Let's have it.
Christmas lingerie. Sexy Santa dress.
Oh, yeah.
Hello.
I've got this vegan leather dress without a top underneath is racy.
I see.
So
okay.
For the listener, it's a wrap dress. Women will know.
Yeah.
If you've got a certain type of figure, it's a bit gratuitous.
Right.
So for festive funsies, I bought a little red dress with Santa fur on it to go underneath this.
Nice.
And that is not an excuse. I can tell you, you can go on my Instagram. It's Vix Layton and you can see me in it. So
excellent. Yeah. A lot of costumes here, Vix. A lot of costumes again.
I'm such a child.
It's all about the joy. I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. We have got a cup warmer. It's a coffee mug warmer. This was on the 18th of January, 2023.
Oh, my friend's home office is in the attic of her house, which is quite far away from the kettle. And she likes massive, like, Sports Direct style mugs of tea. So I go and stay with her when I'm doing gigs up north because she lives in Sheffield.
Yeah.
And she was only getting halfway through and then she was coming down microwaving tea.
Yeah, done
and
that, mate.
It broke my heart.
It's the saddest thing
so
you'll ever do.
I bought her a cup warmer. To keep a drink at a consistent temperature.
That's brilliant. That's genius. I love it. Love it. To have a quick look, a final look at what you've got in your Amazon history, one of the things I like to do is to look at your lists. Okay.
I don't think I've listed anything.
Well, there's a wish list.
Okay.
But it's got one thing on it, which was added in September 2018.
All right, tell me.
And this is a way for us to construe, you know, any future directions in your life. Drag queen colouring book, adult colour therapy. There you go.
I mean, if any item sums me up,
there you go.
What a conclusion.
The joy of colouring in, the inner child of colouring in, and it's a drag queen colouring book. What
LGBTQ plus.
It's brilliant.
Yeah.
Well, that is in your wish list. So I've added it now to the basket. So
are you going to buy it? Are you going to buy it? With my money, because you're in my account.
Because I'm that generous.
Wow.
That's the kind of guy I am.
Get on the Patreon, guys. £5.
Yeah, exactly. Vix, thank you so much for coming on My Maybe What a Toaster. I feel like, we've learned lots about you, that you love life, you love dressing
jobs.
Up, you hate jobs, and you love a bargain, and your dad's a gamer. So much stuff!
I know!
That was a densely packed episode. Tell us, please, where can we find you on socials? Anything you want to plug and promote, now is your chance.
Okay, I am Vix Layton, VixLeyton, like Lake Nora. Across all socials.
Great.
Finally, I was like holding strong to usernames that were funny and quirky for a while. But when I go into comedy, people like, just use your name. People
can't find
you.
It's weird how people in comedy don't like being funny.
It's strange. Yeah, there were no other Vix Layton, so I could be like, I am Vix Layton or The Real, because there is only one.
Mm-hmm.
Probably for the best. So, yeah. I've got a podcast. It's called False Economy. I present it with Mark Watson's brother Paul. And we've got Paul because he's like Mark Watson, but much cheaper.
Much cheaper.
Which tells you a little bit about the concept.
You
it's
have
a similar vibe.
Bargain hunted through the Watson family.
I have.
Clever.
He's just as good.
He really is. Sounds the same as well. Bloody hell.
Which one is the wish? Which is the wish, Watson? It varies day to day. We go through everybody's like the worst rip off they've ever had, the biggest bargain. It's a rant podcast, really.
Nice. Well, so, I can say I've done it and it was great fun. Yeah, it was really, really good. I loved it. Vix, you're a superstar. Thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you so much for having me. This has been great.
Oh, good squeak at the end there as well. Nice squeaking.
That was my dress.
Isn't she absolutely fantastic? Vix Layton. Go and give her a follow on all the socials. Vix Layton, VixLeyton. Thanks for listening, dudes. If you haven't already entered the Duelit competition, I really recommend you do. It's an incredible bundle of Duelit goodness worth over £400, including toasters and all sorts of stuff. It's really, really good. Duelit.com/toasterpod. We're giving away 5 sets. So I think we've given away 1 so far. We've got 4 more to go. why not head over there? You never know. Dualit, dualit.com/toasterpod. Good luck. Let me know how you get on. If you win, that'll be well exciting. Dualit.com/toasterpod. That's it for today's episode. As ever, you can follow us on all the platforms. We've got a load of our shows up on YouTube now, which is, of course, youtube.com. That's the website for YouTube. You knew that, right? youtube.com/@ My Mate Bought a Toaster, all one word. I know. I don't. Have you ever heard of at being in a web address? That's very email-y for me. youtube.com/@ My Mate Bought a Toaster. And please, oh, I feel like such a Gen Z, but can you like and subscribe and give us a thumbs up? Yeah, thanks, guys. Next week, we are back again, of course. I don't know who I'm going to put out next week. I've got two interviews tomorrow, which I am super excited about. So I might put one of those out. I'm not going to name any names because people always cancel last minute. But you never know. So it'll be a good episode. That's all I'm going to say. That's all you need to know. It's going to be dead good. All right. Speak soon. Take care. Kind regards. All the best. Thanks for coming. It's my mate. Whoa, toaster. Oh, it's my mate. Whoa.